How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
I am so excited to announce our new platform launch, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going, but the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, Ayuk, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101. You want to learn scheme. Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the49ersrush.com, sign up, join the community, and plus we got a 7-day free trial. So
time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It's great to be with you guys today. Sorry, I had to postpone the live show just a little bit. I did not have my calendar synced with Kyle Shanahan's, something that I do on the regular on Wednesdays. But it is great to be with you guys today. This is episode number 1276 of the 49ers Rush Podcast. And the title, Do the 49ers Get It? You know, as I'm breaking down film, we've got the entire offensive breakdown that's up on the 49ersrush.com and our Patreon. Got some takeaways from that. Also diving in just a little bit into Bears tape, which, you know, I don't know why I still do that, but whatever. It, very, very clear. Like, man, you watch the offense and defense of the Bears and it's just like, oh, okay, here's what you got to do. Can the 49ers do that? Do the 49ers understand who they are? Their identity, and can they operate within that structure that they have built this team upon? That's what I want to talk about today. And your questions, of course. I've finally got to the point since, you know, traveling back from Buffalo and all that entailed. Very, very tired still. But I did not get to everybody's DMs and everybody's emails yet. Got through the emails, still got to work through some DMs and other, you know, based on social media stuff. I'll get to those. Just please be patient with me. And so I want to talk through some of the topics that were raised there. Want to say thank you to everybody that's showing up. Shout out to 49ers Throwback, just the best in the business. He says, thanks for tuning in, faithful. Please hit that like button and subscribe. Thank you. And all the hashtag CCs. You guys are freaking awesome. And yeah, I want to talk a little bit about this too, Joe. Appreciate you, man. He says, for myself, each NFL season has two parts. The first part is the exciting part. And as long as the 49ers in the playoffs or have a chance to make them, we are soon approaching the second part. Now, I am with you there. And I got a question from Jonathan H. We got a couple Jonathans in the house today with questions. He asked me, you know, what do you think is the best case that's a realistic scenario for the 49ers for the rest of the year? Obviously, you are very far behind the playoff race. You're currently sitting 11th. 7 teams make it to the playoffs. You're 11th seed currently. Not great. Only 16 teams. But, like, I think that what the 49ers should do, at least right now, it's two stages for me. the 49ers have to operate like your back is up against the wall. Everything that you got going on right now, you've got to win now. There is 100%, you know, the 49ers win out, you're in. You're in. You get to 10 wins. I think it's like a 92% chance that you're in the playoffs statistically, historically speaking, with the seventh seed. Like if you get to 10 wins, now can they? That's a different thing. I totally understand that. But the way in which that you move forward right now, you don't care about the youth movement. You don't care about rookies. You care about who is the best, who gives us the best chance to win this game against the Bears. That's it. And that's kind of where the 49ers should be. Now, here's what Kyle said after the game, which I do agree with.
And all must wins. So not much different. If it was a must win this week, it's even stronger next week. So it'll be that way from here on out. This is the hole we put ourselves in and made it a lot tougher. And if we want to get out of it, we got to do something special here.
So you've got to operate like this is a playoff game. It's playoff games from now on out. Like it's single elimination, NCAA, March Madness. You lose, you're done. DU it, it's over. So the way that the 49ers should be acting currently, man, it's playoff football. That's what it is. Now, shout out to my man Josh. He's the best. He says, do we consider not playing Bosa or Trent the rest of the year if we lose again? Now, that's where it changes, right? And so where my thing is and how the 49ers have mishandled certain things, man, you're getting blown out the past 2 weeks. We still got Jake Brendel out there. Why? Why is Jake Brendel playing? He's 30-plus years old. Like, let's see something from somebody else. We saw what happened with Aaron Banks is out. You put in Ben Barch, and it's like, what the hell? We had this great player sitting there. We put up with back-to-back years of terrible left guard play when Ben Barch is just sitting there. Like, who would have guessed? Same thing with Evan Anderson. Same thing with Sam Ekwonu. Doing the same thing. D winners, up and down, up and down. But it's like, man, why don't we, in situations where the game's way out of control, why can't we get backups in just to see, to get them experience? Why is Nick Sakel not in there at center? Why is Jacob Cowing not getting routes? Why Jalen Moore in for Trent Williams late last week obviously didn't work out. But Jalen Graham, Robert Beal, like there's guys you got to get in there in those situations. So if you lose, man, if you lose, you should automatically bench. Devondre Campbell should not get another snap the rest of the year. Jake Brendel should not get another snap the rest of the year. Leonard Floyd, you want to rotate him in there. Yeah, cool. But like, dude, those guys, they have far, they are on the backside of the peak of their career and have been for a long time. Why don't you see what you have? So it's a twofold answer. Trent, and them should be playing right now. Now, let's jump to the injury report that's just fresh off the press. Did not practice today. Nick Bosa, Aaron Banks, DFF, Trent Williams. None of those guys practicing today, Wednesday. Limited, Diamador Lenore, Dre Greenlaw, Talano Hufanga. That's where we're at. That's where we are with the current injury report. They're practicing right now as we are talking. Now, something that came out that I thought was really interesting, the 49ers, again, Kyle Shanahan, I do believe, is a somewhat honest person whenever it comes to press conferences and all those things, not with injuries. Like, the 49ers have been fined. They've gotten in trouble. Jordan Mason stuff. Like, Kyle manipulates things because he thinks it gives the team a healthy advantage for whatever reason. He came out and was asked about Ricky Pearce, so I did not have time to get these clips up. That's my fault. But he was asked about like Ricky Pearsall having zero catches despite spending a first round pick on him in three consecutive games whenever wide receivers are all banged up, whatever else. And he said that, man, Ricky Pearsall got banged up in the Green Bay game. Never was reported, never talked about, whatever else. And like, man, I'm just like, good Lord, this kid, Ricky Pearsall, tough as hell, but man, he's tough. That dude has been nothing but injured since we drafted him. Never missed a game in college. Two separate schools, 5 years. Tough. Since we drafted him, he's had not one but two hamstrings. He's had not one but two shoulder issues. not to mention getting shot and recovering from that. And now he was banged up in the Green Bay game. We don't know what the hell that is, what that injury is. But you're talking like, man, this dude has just been injured. That's how many injuries he's had since we drafted him. Tough as hell, played through it. Not effective at all. Not good tape at all. Not good routes at all. There were two plays, you know, going through just the Buffalo game, our most consistent, where he was wide open. One of them was one of the worst passes I've ever seen Brock Purdy throw. Duck out of his hands. Brock can't grip the ball in wet weather. And then Ricky Pearsall fell down. But that dude was wide open for 4-plus seconds before Brock threw him the ball. And that was kind of another theme of this Buffalo tape. How much do we want to criticize Brock Purdy for this recent game? It was a terrible game from the quarterback, no doubt about it. Obviously, ball slips out of your hand. That's huge. Missed several throws, thrown behind. Ball ducked out of his hand like I've never seen. He just couldn't hold the ball. Brock can't hold the ball if there's wet conditions, period. Hasn't his entire career. Does that negate the fact of how you visualize him? Now, here is another question that we got from Jonathan C., not Jonathan H. And this is a little bit of my past and my takes on the show jumping up and bite me in the butt. He asked this. This is not me. He said, you and Wayne agreed on yesterday's show that Brock is not a top five quarterback. I don't think that he is. Now, I used to think that he could be. I don't think that he is now. This year has definitely raised more doubts. I'm not out on Brock Purdy, though. Like, I hope that I want to bracket this entire conversation. I want Brock Purdy to be our quarterback in the future. I really, really do. But this is where the continuity, I've been doing this show a long time. Like we said, 1,276 episodes is a lot of episodes. And I appreciate everybody that watches these. Thank you guys so much. You guys, thank you. But Jonathan, not me, another Jonathan, Jonathan C. I'm a Jonathan C. We spell our names different. I got the O-N at the end. He's got the A-N. My name is spelled wrong, but it's what it is. He says he agrees that Brock's not a top five quarterback. But he said that I always say, quote, if you don't have a top five quarterback, you have to go get one, end quote. That is true. I've said that. That's my philosophy on team building. If you don't have a top five guy, you got to try to get a top five guy. Now, that does not mean, and again, I have to revise this kind of as we move forward, because I want to keep Brock Purdy. I don't think Brock Purdy's a top five guy. I don't. I think the physical limited skill set hinders his ceiling play. Now, perfect conditions, awesome. I mean, yeah, the lack of arm strength, it's a major concern. The lack of hand size or whatever it is that causes him to fumble the ball. He's had seven fumbles this year. Only, I think, one or two were in bad weather. But, like, seven fumbles? Like, that's way too much. Way too much. The turnover-worthy plays, lack of arm strength, the size. I don't think the size is as big of an issue. But, man, it shows up on tape. I mean, him throwing those little dump-offs and check-downs, it's hard whenever he has a guy in his face, and he's not as big as the 6'5", 6'4", guys.
Are you a person who tends to overspend on or around the holidays? Well, Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing for you, your kids, and your retirement, even during the holidays. And the best part is, you don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that matches you. And you don't need a ton of time. You can start investing your money in just 5 minutes. You also don't need to be rich. Acorns lets you get started with the spare money you've got right now. That could be as small as $5 a day or just some spare change. That's right. Acorns can round up every purchase you make to the dollar and automatically invest your spare change for you. So whenever you go to get your coffee before you go on that shopping trip, guess what? That's investing. I've used Acorns for a long time, way before this sponsorship started. And a big reason why is because you can invest without time and without a lot of money, and you can choose how aggressive you want to be with the amount of money that you invest. So head to acorns.com/49ers or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorn.com/49ers.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, "Happy Friday!" Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com. Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
So how do I balance this? Man, one of my axioms, you don't have a top five quarterback, you got to get one. And I also don't want to move on from Brock. I want Brock signed long term. I really, really do. And I think the way that I want to address this is I think that you still need to throw a lot of darts at high upside quarterbacks, not Brock Purdy clones like Brandon Allen. I don't want that. I want high ceiling guys like Joe Milton, right? The Tennessee guy. Like, I think that the 49ers should continue almost every year. And this is kind of my roster building philosophy for every single team in the NFL. I don't give a damn if you got Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, whatever else. I'm spending late round picks, fifth, sixth, seventh, really sixth, seventh round, maybe fifth round. Fifth round's still a premium. I see, like, you can get instant upgrades there. But sixth, seventh round, undrafted free agents, I'm going after these high caliber, you know, quarterbacks with height, weight, speed, arm strength. And I think the 49ers should still do that. You have 11 picks in this next draft. I think the 49ers should draft a quarterback. One, it'll save you money on cap space. Not saying you should make them your number two or whatever else. Like, but, you know, you go get guys that you think now – usually those quarterbacks don't fall there. Shoot, I want to go look just real quick, just at the draft last year or this year, 2024. And again, we're kind of working through this as we're doing this. But like, okay, Joe Milton went in the sixth round. Jordan Travis went pick 171. Those are the types of guys that I think the 49ers should be going after. Like, those types of guys, these high-end physical, whatever. Shoot, let's go back to 2023, and let's look at quarterbacks there at the back. Man, there was nobody. Max Duggan, no. Tanner McKee, no. Jaren Hall, no. Sean Clifford, no. Dorian Thompson Robinson, that was a pretty terrible draft. We've had some bad quarterback drafts. But, like, last year, oh, dude, there are guys that you can get late. So that's how I kind of, I don't know, remedy or kind of hold those two thoughts that are conflicting. Because I don't know. Do you guys, let me ask you guys, do you believe, is there anybody here that believes Brock Purdy is a top five quarterback? Or could be a top five quarterback? Like, is there anybody else that kind of sees it that way? Because I don't know. Let's see here. I'm trying to catch up. Sorry, I've neglected the chat earlier. Thank you, everybody, for all the hashtag CCs. But I want this to turn into a little bit of a conversation and a sounding board. Not do you think Brock should sign, not do you think the 49ers should sign Brock. That's going to take place. The 49ers are going to sign Brock Purdy. How much? We'll deal with that later. But do you think that Brock Purdy is or can be a top five quarterback? I think that is an important question. And for me, even if you think Brock is or can be a top five quarterback, I still want to take late dart throws on high-end valued quarterbacks that could do it. And all, like, again, Josh Allen is an anomaly. There's not a lot of them. And you're not going to get a Josh Allen in the, you know, fifth, sixth round, but take that for what it is. Matt says, you know, Kyle could have had Tom Brady in at least one Super Bowl. Nope, he stuck with Garoppolo, says it all. Yeah, that was rough, man. Tom Brady sucked that year before. I mean, he was awful. He was awful. Now, that team was awful that he was on with the Patriots. And, you know, you move him down to Tampa Bay, and then it was like, okay. And, yeah, I do think that he wanted to come here. But anyway, right here, the Sentinel, if C.J. Stroud had a game like that, would the Texans fans be calling for him to get lowballed? Nah, and again, I don't want to make this about contract. And I know that that's a part of this piece, right? So, like, where do you value Brock Purdy as far as his peers? That's what I care about. The contract numbers, they're not moving on for Brock Purdy. That's not going to take place. So just where do you think that he could fit in? That's what I want to see. What's up, Trey Sports? Appreciate you, man. So I love that you fly across the country to support the Niners. You kick butt, John. Thank you, man. My whole thing is trying to create space for community and 49ers fans to get together. Hopefully we do a good job with that. It's hard to make everybody happy. People get mad over the weirdest things. But anyway, let's see here. No, that's not really what I'm wanting to focus on. Here we go. Mark, what's up, man? Hard for Brock to be elite when his receivers aren't getting separation. Man, I don't know. There was separation all over the field. And again, going back to, and I know, Mark, you watched the breakdowns. Thank you, first off. And I respect your opinion considerably high. We've had lots of conversations. You are a much smarter person than I am. I see wide receivers open. I see Brock holding the ball way too long and creating very difficult passes and catches that don't have to be there. Now, have the wide receivers been running wide open all the time? No. But in crucial situations, especially in this Bills game, and I know that's a small sample size, Brock's making it harder on everybody. He's making it harder on the O-line. He's making it harder on the wide receivers. And he's making it harder on himself. Now, that's a new thing. That's a new thing. Alec, do you think Goff is a top five guy? I do not. However, Goff has the body, the arm strength, and all those things of a top five guy. Now, and again, Jared Goff is not a top five guy. He's the one of the worst, if not the worst, quarterback against pressure. So what do? Ben Johnson, you go get him one of the best offensive lines in football and one of the best running games in football, and you build to who you have. You have Jared Goff. The Detroit Lions get it, right? What's the title of the show? Do the 49ers get it? How could Brock, okay, if we're going to do this, I love this question, this comment, Alec. Jalen Hurts. No, Jalen Hurts is not a top five guy in any way, shape, or form. Running the ball, sure. But no, if he has to win with his arm, he cannot do it. That has been proven. But what do? Jalen Hurts is not a top five guy. It was like exact situation Brock Purdy's in now. Jalen Hurts was in last year. So what do? You invest more in the offensive line and you go get the best running back in free agency, Saquon Barkley. Now he's like an MVP candidate. You surround, you build around. So my question in this whole episode, do the 49ers get it? Who is Brock Purdy? Brock Purdy is a distributor that can improvise and has great quick speed burst that can get, you know, if all's covered, he can create. All's covered, he can create. But you have to build around the run game. Screens, layups, play action, run the ball, get the ball out quick. Do the 49ers get it? That's what it is. We have what works. It's been proven. So why is it no longer working? Well, we're no longer doing those things. In the Bills game, you ran more screens than you had all year. And guess what? Brock Purdy had his worst game except for in the screen game. That was his highest passer rating. That was the highest completion percentage. It was the most yards per whatever. Like, that was the best part of Brock's game, the quick, easy screens. But again, I want to divorce this Bills game, even though I'm struggling because that's recency bias. It's what I just saw. It's what I just broke down, all those things. But it's like, man, bad weather, Brock ain't it. Brock ain't ever going to be it. I may never bet the 49ers ever again if it's raining and Brock Purdy is our quarterback. If it's wet, I'm not touching it. Like, Brock is guaranteed a fumble almost every time it rains. Almost every time. He's got seven fumbles lost this season. And I think he's played 10 games. Only missed one. I do not think that Goff is top five. I don't think that Hurts is top five. But they built to the strengths of him. We have not done that. Now, Kyle thought, and I think Brock wants, Brock doesn't like play action. He hates turning his back to the field. Brock loves empty sets. We suck at empty sets. We should never have an empty set again for as long as Kyle Shanahan and Brock Purdy are here. We suck at it. But that's what Brock wants, but I don't give a damn what you want. That's my job as a coach. You might feel more comfortable. You're not that good at it. Brock Purdy sucks at empty sets. We're terrible. Go 4th-and-2 empty set all the damn time. Just stupid. There was one point, even in this Bills game, you had 7 consecutive runs, all for positive yards, and then we fake motion Jordan Mason out and go empty set. And guess what? Offensive drive stalled there. We got no points on that drive, even though we had 7 positive rush plays. Ugh. I don't care. I don't care what Brock wants. You do what I say. I'm the coach. You might feel more comfortable. Nah, you're not good at it. You're not good at it. Right here, Sonia. What's up, Sonia? You're awesome. Not counting Purdy taking over from Jimmy. He played a full season last year plus this season. This is technically the sophomore slump. I'm cool with that. So, again, my question, and maybe I got to scroll down more. Do you guys think, is Brock Purdy a top five quarterback or can he be? James says, if you've got a top 10, you can build up to the possibility of being a top five. I'm cool with that. Let's see here. 13 Rock. There we go. I'm not one to talk contract. I want to see just top five. Let's see here. JM Purdy, not a quarterback top teams look at and think, man, we fear this quarterback. I think that's fair. Matt, yes, John, they should draft one of a quarterback this year. I think so. Let's see here. Purdy's mid. I don't think so. I do like Mordecai on the practice squad. I think that's where he should be. I don't think Mordecai could be a top tier guy. He's more athletic. He's got a stronger arm than Purdy, but he's built like Purdy. Like, you need big quarterbacks. Big quarterbacks are a big deal. One, they take bigger hits. One, they see better. And they can fall forward. Like, that's huge. They don't get injured as much. That's huge. It's not everything. And I love Brock Purdy. What's up, Juan? How we doing, man? Post-lunch show, I'll take it. What's up, JC? Yeah, I do the morning show on Wednesdays with Wayne on his channel. That was fun. I got a little mad on that one. Go check that out, the Wayne Breezy. So Wednesday kind of messes up my schedule a little bit, but I kind of like it. He says no. Let's see, but he could be right here. He's top 10, not top five. There we go. Juan says, no, Brock has too many limitations. Top 12, maybe top 10's realistic. This is good. Yeah. Football is a team sport. 100%. What's up, Tony? There's no doubt about that. But again, at the most, the quarterback is the most important position in any sport. And football is a team sport. It really, really is, but it's quarterback. And everything else. So unless you have the best team ever, you got to have a premium quarterback. Sonia says Purdy is a top 10. Purdy's top 10, and we have all the pieces where he doesn't need to be a top five quarterback and still win a Super Bowl. I agree with that. He's a 12-13. Yep, he's 6-12. I think that's cool. And again, like, you talk about the top five quarterbacks, like the instant names, Mahomes, Josh Allen. Josh Allen's going to be my one. Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert. Like, those are those guys. Like, are you in that category? You want to throw in Joe Burrow or whoever else, whatever else. I don't really care. You know, whoever your top five guys are, he's played like a top five the last 2 years. I agree with that. I do agree with that. Mike, Brock sure seemed like a top 10 last season. Yeah, top 10, I don't think people are disagreeing with, especially last season. Now, my questions on if he could be a top five guy have risen. I think a lot of you guys agree with me. And again, not saying you don't keep Brock. You keep Brock. You keep Brock. But the questions have gained steam. Crazy Juice says, I think he could be a top five. There we go. Let's see here. Yeah. I like this conversation. Oh, what's up, Eric? How you doing, man? It's hard to say, can he win with the right team? Sure. Will he be a Josh Allen, Lamar? No. But a Brady? It's possible. Ooh, Brady had way better arm. Brady way bigger. But that's not what made Brady Brady. What made Tom Brady the best, whatever, you know, look how many Super Bowls he won, is doesn't turn the ball over, doesn't take hits, and processes so damn quick. And then whenever the game mattered the most, the dude delivered. So, like, can he be that? It took Tom Brady a long time to be that. And they didn't win with Tom Brady early. They won with defense and surrounding him with elite talent. And then Tom Brady morphed into what we now remember Tom Brady being the best and whatever else. Like, that, yes. Yeah, obviously, Tom Brady was a top five quarterback. He's arguably the best quarterback of all time, or second best, however you look at it. But Tom Brady didn't win with those elite traits. Yeah, he's big. Yeah, he's got a strong arm, but he never had the strongest arm, and he's slow as, I mean, he's slow. But he realized, I'm not going to take hits, and I'm not going to turn the ball over. That's what, like, and so, like, he learned that from it. And whenever you listen to Tom Brady call games, I'm not a Tom Brady fan, by the way. I can't stand the dude. But you listen to Tom Brady call plays or call the games, and, like, you see where he's at. Dude, you got to get the ball out. You can put the ball in jeopardy, and you can't take hits. He emphasizes those three things nonstop every single game he calls. And he's right. He's right. Don't take hits, get the ball out early, and don't turn the ball over. You do those things, and you're going to be just fine. And, you know, shoot, go to George Kittle. Like, George Kittle summarizes why the 49ers lose better than anybody right here.
You know, I think our goal was to run the heck out of the football, keep Josh Allen off the field. And I think we did a really good job of that, but you have to score points. I mean, we had three, and then we had an opportunity to have six or nine or whatever it was. You know, we got to score on touchdowns in the red zone. That's how you stay in these big, in the games versus really good offenses. And we didn't do that early on. You know, I think the 55-yard kick in the blizzard, that's tough. You know, I definitely believe Jay can make that stuff. You know, we're leaving points out there. And then all of a sudden, hey, we get lapped. We leave points out there with a turnover. Like, would we have three turnovers again? It's hard to win football games when you're not scoring the red zone, you're turning the ball over. Like,
and I mean, it's so simple, right? So whatever you look at, do the 49ers get it? I want to say yes, because you go into the Bills game and you're like, man, run the ball. And it worked early on until the injuries started piling up. And then you started throwing the ball like crazy, and then you started turning it over. And so it's like, man, they get it. They understand. I think that they do, at least offensively. Now, special teams and defense, that's a whole nother thing. But this idea of, man, Brock Purdy, you look at the 40, like, that dude has turned into a turnover machine. And I don't understand. You just look at our ranks. We are 27th offensively out of 32 teams on turnovers offensively. We turn the ball over. We're a bottom five team in turnovers. You want to know why the offense is what it is? We can march the ball up and down the field all day. We can get all the yards out there that we want to. But you can't turn the ball over. You look at these back-to-back games, you turn the ball over three times each in the second half. Defense forced no turnovers. None. Yeah. Defense is different, okay? The defense is – I want to talk about the defense. We'll do that in the second half of this show. But I'm like, okay, who are the 49ers? I truly believe, and maybe I'm an idiot. I know I'm an idiot. A lot of people right here listening to this just said, yeah, you're an idiot. And that's okay. I may not be smart, but I know what good football is. And the good football is this. You have a play caller, and you have a good quarterback, and you have an identity. And if you can build around those things, then I think that you could be a winning football team. The 49ers have been a winning football team, you know, since the third year Shanahan was here, 2019 forward, period. Yeah, obviously 2020, obviously this year, not great, but the formula is there. Kyle Shanahan, even if you hate him and you think he's a jerk and he's too arrogant and, you know, won't take responsibility, whatever it is, your Kyle Shanahan critique, set that aside or keep it. I don't give a damn. But the dude can call plays. You watch this Buffalo tape. Dude, the plays were there. You ran for 120 yards in the first half. It was great. It was great. I mean, the plays have been there all year. All year. But if the quarterback can't protect the ball, that's where a question arises. But if the 49ers keep Kyle Shanahan and Brock Purdy, which those two are going to be together, Brock ain't going nowhere. But if you commit to building around the run game, you're going to have success. That's all that it takes. I don't give a damn this week. Even let's look at micro. You're about to play the Bears. And your top three running backs are out, right? Christian McCaffrey, done. Jordan Mason, done. Elijah Mitchell, done. Cody Schrader would have been our fourth best running back, but that's okay. Now you got Isaac Orando. And you got Patrick Taylor Jr. just got elevated. You got Israel Abakananda, or however you say that. You got Keyshawn Vaughn. I don't give a damn. I don't care. I'm not an Isaac G guy. I'm just being honest. I'm not. I don't care. He should have 20 carries this game. Patrick Taylor should have 15. You are who you built your team around, which is a dominant run game, play action passes, screens, jet sweeps, layup plays. That's who you are. Go back to who you are and then build appropriately in the future and you're going to be fine. But this Brock Purdy throwing the ball 35 times a game, bullcrap, that's not how you win. Empty sets where there's not even the illusion of a running game, that is not how you win games, period. Man, how many times has Brock Purdy thrown for over 30 times this game? He did against Tampa. He did against Kansas City. He did against Arizona. He did against the Rams. He did against Minnesota. That's five times. We went 1-4 in those games. That's not how you win. That's not how you build. You build on the run game, play action pass, layup screens, physicality. And that was there. That was there this game. Now, the only way that you can stay running the ball is if the game is close. You're getting blown. The door's blown off your defense. That makes it hard when you don't keep pace and you don't score in the red zone, just like what Kyle said. Just like what Kyle said. So, like, do the 49ers get it? At times they do. At times they do. Do they always? No, they don't. Now, let's go talk about where they do not get it. And that's on the defensive side. Now, if you guys haven't bet with us yet, you have 1 week left for a 100% deposit bonus at my bookie. You only 1 week. It's going to cut down to 50% after that. So if you've been on the fence, it's time. Go get your free money, man.
You know football. You watch all the games. You know what's going to happen before it actually does. So why don't you put your knowledge to the test over at MyBookie, where you can bet on everything. Go to mybookie.ag. Use promo code 49ERS, 49ers, or scan this QR code next to me. And they're going to match your initial deposit. Put in 50, you get 50. Put in 100, you get 100. All the way up to $1,000. Plus, you can bet everywhere. California, Texas, doesn't matter. I've been in California for years. I've used it for 6 straight years. Easy to get money in, easy to get money out. Trusted source, and you can bet on anything you want. You want to bet on politics, any sport, you name it. They've got the casino, if that's your thing. You name it, MyBookie is there for you. Now, make sure you use promo code 49ERS to get that double deposit. And MyBookie, bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.
All right. Now let's go to the other side of the ball. A 49ers fan, fire Sorensen and get a legitimate DC. Yes, Nick Sorensen is awful. I don't think that there were a lot of people pushed back early on. Like good film people that like that literally watch the coach's tape and understand X's and O's and whatever that pushed back against my criticism of Nick Sorensen early. But it was just like, man, hopefully he'll get there. Hopefully he'll get there. Hopefully he's only gotten worse and worse and worse and worse. And you could say, well, the injuries have gotten worse, worse, and worse. That is correct. But let's talk briefly about how the 49ers don't get it. And this is defensively. This is a big deal. And right here, 49ers throwback. Thank you. For example, Kyle Shanahan is satisfied with Nick Sorensen. That's crazy to me. That is crazy to me. So let's address how bad we are defensively first. Then let's talk about what to do about it. There are a few, again, who are the 49ers? Stop the defensively. Stop the run to earn the right to rush the passer. That's just the philosophy. Saleh, D'Amico, Wilkes, all those things. And I think Sorensen has echoed those sentiments as well. I will no longer cut up Sorensen film clips. That dude, one, he's boring as hell. Two, has not earned the right to be on this show. No, that dude doesn't belong here. Don't belong. And I hope he gets paid out the rest of his contract after he gets fired and moves on and has a great time and a great life elsewhere, coaching somewhere else in a different scheme, doesn't belong in this scheme, and a different team doesn't belong on this team. He needs to go learn elsewhere. It's just not it. It seems like a really nice guy. Just golly, man. Pet Rock, no. So here's how bad it is historically, right? So we build our defense, stop the run, earn the right to rush the passer. Points allowed. We're currently 24th in the NFL. That is the worst the 49ers have ranked since 2018. Okay? So that's 7 years. 7 years. That's the worst we've been at points scored or points allowed scored against us since 2018. Third downs, right? You stop the run. You force teams in third and long. And then we've been good at that. Like the 49ers are the worst team in the NFL at third and six and longer. Dead last, 32nd. Now, if you just look at third down conversion percentage, how many times they're successful, we're 26th on third downs. That's the worst since 2017. That defense sucked. 2017, we had nobody, and we changed our scheme. That's how bad we are now. We have the fourth highest paid defensive roster in the NFL. Oh, okay. Stop the run, right? Well, we can't do that. And Shanahan did a really good comment about how we can't stop the run. And he said, well, it's players, it's missed assignments, it's bad tackling, it's everything. He literally said it's everything. We have given up, we're 31st out of 32 teams. There's only one team worse than us, and allowing rush touchdowns. Teams just run it down our throats in the red zone. That's the worst since before Kyle Shanahan showed up. That's 2016. Chip Kelly, bad. Y'all remember that team? Ugh, that grosses me out, man. I hate Chip Kelly. I really, really do. And you go back to that 2016 team. I want to pull this up. Here we go. I want to look at this team, right? Jim O'Neill was our defensive coordinator. And let's just talk through the roster that we had on defense. Are you ready for this? All right. You had DeForest Buckner, Glenn Dorsey, Quinn and Dial. We were running a 3-4. Ahmad Brooks was 33. Nick Ballor, Gerald Hodges, Eli Harold. You remember him starting as a rookie? Tremaine Brock, hook 'em, baby. Jimmy Ward, he didn't play much at that. Antoine Bethea was at 33 years old. And Eric Reed. Like, that defense can't even hold the water of the people we got out there. Can't even hold the water. There's no Nick Bosa. There's no Fred Warner. There's no freaking D'Amador Lenore on that team. There's none of that. That's how bad we are. We're playing like that defense on third downs. And then you go to red zone percentage when it matters most. We're 31st in the NFL. But historically speaking, This is a stat that was not kept. Pro Football Reference is like the best site in the world. I spend more time on that, PFR, than I do anything else in the, like, I love the history that they keep. They only kept track of red zone percentage starting in 1999. It's 2024. This is the worst we've ever been since they kept track of the stat in the red zone defensively. This is the worst that the 49ers have ever been. And so now 1999 was the first year they did it. We were worse than that. We were worse than all 25 years past that. This millennia, that's how bad we are. Keep in mind, fourth highest paid defensive roster. Yeah, the injuries add up, but not that bad. Think about how terrible we have been defensively. I mean, you can go back through. Shoot, let's look at this. This is freaking ridiculous. This is freaking ridiculous. You can go back to where in 2006 with Nolan, you remember that crap? We went 7-9. We had the worst defense in the NFL, 32nd in points. We still had a better red zone percentage stoppage than we do now. Like Mike Nolan time. Let's see here. You go back to Dennis Erickson, the worst head coach in 49ers history. In my opinion, he's the worst. I'll argue this one till my grave. Hopefully we never get anybody worse than him. We went, like, he ruined a dynasty. We went 2-14. Again, had the worst defense in the NFL points wise, still had a better red zone team than we do right now. How is that possible? What the hell, man? And I know this show is turning into a weekly Nick Sorensen sucks rant, but how the hell is Kyle cool with that? Now, let's focus on that aspect of it. Thank you, throwback. Kyle Shanahan has said, the quote was, oh, I was extremely satisfied. Ah, dang it. I have got it in my Twitter somewhere, the exact quote, but whatever. I'm not cutting that damn clip. It was on the audio whatever. And the audio conference call. So it's not like we have the video clip of it or whatever else. Can you fire him now? Sure. What are you going to do? Put Bullix or put Staley there? I would do that right now because I have zero confidence or hope in the future of Nick Sorensen whatsoever. I would do that. You're going to see what happens with the Bears after they let go of their coach. You let people know you're not happy with the status quo. Shit changes quick. Heads are rolling. That affects my pocketbook. I better show up. There's a new guy in charge. That new DC doesn't want me. New head coach doesn't want me. I lose my job. I better show up. It changes mentality. Keeping everybody shows you're okay with the status quo. And you can say, oh, we got to change. We got to change. No. We're past time for that. So I would 100%. Dude, you're demoted. You've lost play call ability. Something. But your long-term replacement is not available at defensive coordinator currently. That's factual. That is factual. You got to get a change. I want Jeff Ulbrich. There's lots of other options out there. There's going to be lots of options out there. And you want to know the silver lining? You know, last year you lose the Super Bowl. You fire Wilkes. We had Wilkes right now. We'd be in the playoff hunt. Guaranteed, 100%. I bet my life on it. Was Wilkes a great DC? No, I don't believe that. But we did have a top three defense in every category last year. Would we have a top three defense with Wilkes calling the plays now? No, I don't think so. I don't even think we'd have a top 10. But we wouldn't be bottom five, bottom 10 like we are. I think we'd have an average defense. You put an average defense on this team right now, this current roster, man, guess what? You're probably 7-5. You're in the mix. We can't be in the mix with Nick Sorensen. He will stop this team from being in the mix. He sucks. He's the worst, the most vanilla defense in the NFL and probably college football. I know there's a lot of teams in college football, but it gives him somebody to compete with. It's terrible. Now, is that Kyle's fault? Yes, it is. And I think that is a critique of Kyle Shanahan that will never go away. You have put somebody in a position that cannot be successful, who constantly puts all of his players in a position where they can't be successful. That's on Kyle. I would have no problem saying, hey, Kyle, Jed York saying, you're not picking the DC. You're not picking a yes man. You're going to pick somebody. We're going to hire somebody, and you're going to be forced to work. Like that, I'm cool with. Fire Shanahan, I'm not there. We were in the Super Bowl last year. Yeah, I get it. And the same people that want to fire Shanahan, I'm pretty sure, are the same people that were wanting to fire Steve Wilks for sitting in the booth. Yeah, those aren't football people. Are there football people that want to fire both? That's a small sliver. That's a small sliver. And again, if you want to fire Kyle, ask yourself, did you want to fire Wilks? That should tell you a lot. That should tell you something. Because football people realized last year, man, our secondary played the best they have played since Shanahan showed up. And now you look at our safeties, god-awful. They're god-awful. I think Malik's pretty great. But it took him a long time to get to great. I mean, he was so bad for that first month of the season. But now he's good. Jair Brown's cuttable. You know what I mean? Like, Wilks got a lot out of those secondary. There were some issues with the front, and I'm not saying he's a good DC. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying he was the best DC in the world compared to Nick Sorensen. And we got rid of him without a backup plan. We didn't care who we were going to get. We just didn't want him. Well, yeah. Look what you got. Look what you got. I hope you're happy. Hope you're happy. Vince, appreciate the super chat. You are the man. He says, we need to bolster our front 6/7, DTDN, linebacker, all needs in the upcoming draft. Lost confidence in the defensive position coaches this year. Yeah, Chris Kucerik, oh my gosh. Like, it's like, who's he developed? Maybe Evan Anderson, maybe Sam O, you want to give him credit for that. But, like, why didn't you get them in the lineup earlier? They are their best defensive players. Best. Best. Sam O's 100 times better than Etur Gross Matos. Way more consistent than Leonard Floyd. I understand Leonard Floyd's got the sacks and numbers. That's great. But he's getting $10 million a year. You're getting outplayed by a guy you picked up that was cut off of a practice squad as an undrafted free agent. Evan Anderson's been our most consistent defensive tackle. What took him so long to get him in the lineup? What? We got Ben Bartsch, Sam Aquano, and Evan Anderson sitting on the sideline most of the season. They're some of our best players. What the hell? Who's doing the evaluation? We saw it. I saw it in training camp. How long have I been telling everybody about Evan Anderson and Sam O? I saw it. I've been at all the preseason games. I've been at most of the NFL games. I've been at training camp, and I've been screaming, this guy's good. This guy's good. This guy's good. They don't see it. They don't see it. Let's just let Jake Brendel and freaking Aaron Banks be out there and Jordan Elliott and all these players that aren't good. They're not good. Aaron Banks is good, but not whenever he's hurt. Just keep them out there, guys. Do the 49ers get it? Because I don't think all of them do. I really don't. In talent evaluation, we suck at. We used to be a meritocracy where it didn't matter. Whoever was best was going to play. Now, undrafted free agent Matt Breida, get out there. You're better. Not anymore. Not anymore. That's what, that pisses me off. Like, how do we not know? You know Jake Brendel sucks. Jake Brendel just had one of his best games because he didn't ruin everything. He had like four or five holds that weren't called. Refs wanted to go home. It was cold. They let everybody play. How do we not let anybody else try? You're down 30 points. Why are we not letting somebody else try? The 49ers don't get that. They do not believe in competition. And that is one of the reasons why this downfall is happening. It really is. Because you got to have guys step up. And the only reason why we're getting quality play from these deep starters is because of injuries. We didn't see that they were good. That pisses me off. Ugh. Right here, Riley. Appreciate the super chat. Kyle is like the fans that want him fired without a good backup plan. He does the same thing. You're not wrong. You are not wrong. That is a legitimate Kyle Shanahan critique on if he should be running and in charge of all the hires. I think you get him as you allow him to. And last year sucked because when you fired Wilks, you had nothing. He went after Belichick. He went after Spagnuolo. There was nothing. All 32 or 31 other teams had their DC hired. You were picking scraps. Should have went college route. But Shanahan never worked at college. Shanahan didn't have those connections. Shanahan won't hire somebody that him or his dad didn't work with. That's a flaw. That's a flaw. That's nepotism, right? You're only hiring guys that you know and you love. That's a limited pool that you're taking talent from. That's bad. You're not maximizing the talent pool that you're drawing from. That's a problem. That is a major critique. Thank you, Riley. Oh, man, y'all got me heated up, man. I ain't even looked at the chat in a while. I'm so sorry. Yeah, you got to change things. There's no doubt. Man, right here, agency. We went from Super Bowl favorites to draft favorites in a month's time. Yeah, right here, filthy casual. Rumor is Colin Wilkes didn't get along, and that's a problem. I've been on coaching staffs with y'all know me as a nice person. At least, hopefully, that comes across. Man, I love confrontation. It's a major issue. I love confrontation with people I don't respect. And this is part of the way I was raised in the house I was raised in, with a lot of conflict, very unhealthy, substance abuse, whatever, physical, emotional, lots of trauma. And like people that I care about, like if I get in a fight with a friend or like a relative or like, you know, whatever, I'm not okay. But you get somebody, and I don't start fights. I've just never been that guy. But I see somebody else. Like, I think I got, I don't know, maybe 6 or 7 fights in high school. I was a boxer in MMA. And like, I love physical altercations, but not with people I care about. Every fight I got in high school wasn't because of me. It was because somebody was bullying another kid. I ain't going to stand for that. I believe in bullying bullies. That's what I believe in. So every fight that I got into was because somebody was picking on somebody smaller than them or bullying somebody else. I ain't going to stand for that crap. I'm still that same way as an adult. I'm not the guy that's just going to sit there and watch stuff happen. If I feel like, I used to tell my football players this, like, I let my players fight. You pissed off on the football field? We got pads on out here. We can do something about it. Y'all want to go at it? Go at it. Don't punch in the helmet. Let's be smart. You just go at it. But as soon as one of the two people don't want to fight anymore, that shit is done. This fight is over. It's done. Two people want to fight. I think that there's something primal or what. I can't explain. I'm not smart enough. But like two adolescent males, I coached high school, right? On the same team, they're a family. They want to go at it physically. Man, I ain't got a problem with that at all. I ain't got a problem. As soon as one of them is lost, or one of them doesn't want to fight anymore, done. That's over. I think that there's value that takes place in that. And I'm sure a lot of people disagree with me. Don't worry, I don't work with kids anymore. Don't worry. But like, I think that there's something there. But whenever you've got these other people that don't get along, like Kyle and Wilkes, you should move on. I don't have a problem with Kyle firing Wilkes. I have a problem with Kyle firing Wilkes without a plan. Anyway, all right, I gotta go. Y'all are awesome. Thank you for everything. And sorry I got so mad. I gotta calm down before I start cursing. All right, y'all are awesome. Stay strong. Nick Sorensen should be replaced. We're gonna start some draft talk soon, guys. It's coming.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.